many of you are following the formation series that we've been going through on discernment. The last talk in that series will be on Thursday. But it comes back to mind in light of these readings, because discernment is something that we don't simply do when we're taking a little course, but it's a daily experience. It's a daily aspect of the Christian life, discernment. It comes to mind partly because of what was used for the Alleluia verse in today's Mass. It comes from Ephesians chapter 1. May the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ enlighten the eyes of our hearts. So that interior enlightenment, that interior knowledge of God's will is what discernment is all about. May he enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we may know what is the hope that belongs to our call. Well, in today's readings, we have in the gospel the Pharisees failing to discern. There's an obstacle to their correct interpretation of what's going on, and that's why they stand in judgment of the disciples. And then in the first reading, we have the beautiful passage, another beautiful passage about Samuel, who's a good listener, discerning who it is that God has chosen to be the successor of King Saul. So he goes through all the sons of Jesse and finally ends up with David. So what we have here is kind of a negative example in the case of the Pharisees and a positive example in the case of Samuel. It might be worth pointing out that when it comes to discernment, there's always a certain natural predisposition. And that varies from person to person because we're just born with a certain temperament or a certain sensitivity. So some people are perhaps quicker to pick up the clues or more sensitive to what's going on. Some less so. That's not virtuous, it's just some are more gifted. Some are quicker to believe, and then some are more skeptical, just by nature. If you want to get an example of what I'm thinking of, in the case of Samuel, even as a young boy, we saw on Sunday, even as a young boy, when he heard someone call him, he got up right away, here I am. It was not because he's good, it's just he has this natural kind of readiness to respond. Even if he doesn't know who he's responding to, it comes naturally to him. On the other end of the scale, you could think of Nathaniel. Remember Nathaniel, when he first heard from Philip that he had found the Messiah. Nathaniel's first reaction was, oh, what good can come from Nazareth? So it wasn't because Nathaniel's a bad man. It's because his temperament tends to be more skeptical. Now, I mention that because each of us has a different way of responding. And what's important for discernment is to get past that, to be able to interpret that first reaction, because sometimes it's right and sometimes it's wrong. In the case of Samuel, when he was a young boy, his first impulse is to respond, but he thought it was Eli. So he was wrong. He is right to respond, but he's wrong in interpreting who it was. In the case of Nathaniel, his first reaction is nothing good can come from Nazareth, so I'm not even going to listen. That was wrong, but he got past that, and then he did listen and went to meet Jesus. So that's one thing, our natural disposition. But there is something that we are in charge of, and that is the learned, prejudices, I guess is a good word for it, which we learn from our experience and from our culture, family. And that seems to be what's causing problems with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are so schooled in obeying the law that it becomes a prejudice against anyone who doesn't obey according to their standards. So when they see the disciples picking the grain on the Sabbath, they immediately interpret it as a violation of the Sabbath. Look. We can see something going wrong here, and you, Jesus, don't even seem to notice your own disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. So they stand above Jesus, above the disciples, above everybody, because they have this awareness of the law. Now, The problem here is not a natural problem. It's kind of an acquired problem. It comes with our fallen nature, of course, but it grows when we start to attach ourselves to certain interpretations. And we all do this, so I'm just mentioning it because it becomes a challenge for right discernment once we have a lot of other criteria, some good, some bad. Now, the law is a good criterion, yes, but it has to be interpreted properly. And they're not trying to interpret the law, they're trying to use the law as a justification for their judgment of the disciples. And this is a classic trap for religious people. So it's good for all of us, all people come to Mass on weekdays, very religious people. So religious people have the tendency to self-righteousness and the tendency to judge. It doesn't mean that those judgments are always wrong, but it's usually the case that we shouldn't be making them in the first place, because that's not our place. Okay, so let's leave these Pharisees aside for a moment and focus on Samuel, because he's a much more appealing example. Samuel, the Lord tells him, go to Jesse of Bethlehem, because I have chosen the next king from among his sons. Okay, clear word from the Lord, and Samuel, who has been a good listener from his childhood, does what the Lord says. Okay, you tell me to go to Bethlehem? Then he says, wait, if I go to Bethlehem, Saul's going to hear about it and kill me. So he enters into a conversation with the Lord, expresses his fear. The Lord says, oh, take a heifer along. go and offer a sacrifice, and Saul won't pick up on what you're up to. So the great thing here is Samuel, again, saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, but he's listening with a readiness to do what the Lord wants. Good listener, good obedient servant of the Lord. So he goes to Bethlehem. Bethlehem, by the way, is famous to us because that's the birthplace of Jesus. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Because it's the city of David. So this goes back to the very roots of why Bethlehem is significant, not only in the Old Testament, but especially in the New. So in other words, what's happening here, now Samuel doesn't know anything about Jesus, but because he's a willing servant of the Lord, he becomes a participant in the preparation for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, born in Bethlehem. Everything in the Old Testament points toward the New, points toward Jesus. So he gets to Bethlehem, he wants to meet the sons of Jesse, he invites them to the sacrifice, and he sees the eldest, what's his name? Eliab. And he says to himself, this is Samuel's first reaction, surely the Lord's anointed is here before him. This is obviously the one. He's the eldest, he's a good-looking guy, tall, probably gifted, and, you know, of course he's the one. A natural reaction. Anyone could make that initial read on the situation. But immediately, the Lord speaks to Samuel interiorly, do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. See what listening in the heart is. See what discernment is. Yes, he has this first impulse. This Eliab must be the one. But then we have to sort out, is that first impulse an indication of God's will, or is that just my nature speaking? In the case of Samuel, that was just his nature. Wasn't a bad thing, but it was wrong. But don't follow that one. See how that's part of discernment. Because discernment is an interior listening, and God speaks within. So when we're talking about what's going on in us, some of what's going on in us is not from God. It comes from us. It can come from others, too. But that's the discernment. So he says, okay, then the Lord continues, not as man sees does God see, because he, man, sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. This is the summary of the whole lesson, isn't it? We don't see what God sees. We see appearances. And we have to judge based on what we can see, but we remain aware always that there's more that we can't see, and we That's why we defer to the Lord. That's why we don't judge in the ultimate sense, because we can't see in the ultimate sense. The Lord looks into the heart. So Jesse presents all his sons to Samuel. You know the story. And Samuel is listening interiorly. He's not going on his first reactions anymore. He's listening interiorly. Is this the one? Is this the one? No. Run through the whole list, and there's nobody. Well, here Samuel started to think, well, you know, did I not hear it properly? I mean, the Lord told me it would be one of the sons of Jesse. They're all here, and none of these are the ones. So this is where discernment becomes challenging. We can start to doubt what we have already discerned. Was I wrong? Maybe I misheard it or misunderstood it. So Samuel asks the next important question. Are these all the sons you have? Have we exhausted the whole list? And then Jesse says, oh, there's one more. You know, the one who is not really significant. He's the youngest, and he's doing the work of shepherding out there. You know, why bother? And so Samuel says, well, why bother? Because maybe he's the one. We don't know. So David is brought in after he's formed as a shepherd from his youth. It's a good formation for a future king, isn't it? Because a king is a shepherd. And then the Lord says to Samuel, here, he's the one. Anoint this one. He's the one. He's the one I have chosen. He's not the one Jesse would have thought of. He's not the one you would have thought of. He's not the one that it stands out according to any human criteria, but he's the one I have chosen, so anoint him. Now, that's so. And Samuel, because he's a good discerner, a good listener, he does it. And that's the beginning of the story of David. We'll be reading about David later on. But we know our first encounter with David is this one. The Lord chose him. Now we apply this to ourselves. I've already tried to apply it, because what's important is to take the time to sort out the different impressions or senses that we have interiorly, because some of them come from our nature. Some of them come from the world or the circumstances, the expectations, and some come from the Lord. And the important thing is to be willing to listen and respond to the Lord, and to be willing to not follow everything else. Clear enough. I don't have to say more. Don't judge by appearances. The man judges by appearances, but the Lord looks into the heart, so we listen to the Lord.